Well, today we are continuing on with our Realign series by exploring God's word on an important yet often overlooked subject. And that subject is singleness. Singleness. As we've seen on our journey so far throughout this series, God's original plan was for man and for woman to unite in marriage and produce godly children. That was God's original plan. But as we have also seen, if you've been on this journey with us since January, that humanity's fall from God's grace opened a door for other scenarios and other situations to occur. In our case today, this whole area of those who are single. Vaughan Roberts, the rector of St. Ebbs in Oxford, in an article he wrote, suggested that at that time it was written, I think it was 2019 he wrote this, that at that time there was an estimate 35% of UK churches were made up of single people. In the same article, he writes, each single person will have a slightly different experience of singleness. There are age differences. Being single at 20 is very different from being single at 30, at 40, or at 70. There are circumstantial differences. Some have never been married. Others are divorcees, widows or widowers. And there are experiential differences. Some have chosen to be single and are basically content. Others long to be married and feel frustrated. I would suggest that this whole area of singleness is one of the underlying challenges of in many churches, particularly around, obviously in the UK where we are, and an area that is often overlooked, often not spoken into, or maybe even an area that's not very supported very well. Many churches are set up and aimed for the nuclear family, the nuclear family being the married couple with children. Many churches are aimed and set up that way, which is fine and is biblical. There's nothing wrong with that. But the church can be guilty of unintentionally overlooking the needs of the widowed, of the divorcee, of the singles by choice, and those who are longing for marriage but have not yet got there. But God, being a loving and gracious God, not only provides provision for those not married or who are single for whatever reason, but he shows how much he deeply cares for and even encourages those who aren't married, who can't marry, or those who choose not to marry, as we will see. So this morning, we're going to look at three key areas using the following headings. Singleness is a gift. Singleness can be hard. And singleness one day will cease to be. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Matthew's Gospel. We're in the same passage that we've been in for both our marriage message and also our divorce, a marriage and divorce. For the marriage and divorce messages. So we're just continuing on in Matthew 19. If you don't have your Bibles with you, the Bible passages will be on the screen. I know I'm always going on about bringing your Bibles. Who was here at the Going Deeper last month? What did I forget? Oh, the shame, the guilt. Wonderful. Well, just to give you a quick recap, Jesus has been challenged by the Pharisees around marriage. And he turns and says to them, what God has brought together, not let man separate, with this idea, as we see in Genesis, that God is the one who brings man, male and female, together in marriage. But he then goes on to answer a question that they then throw back at him and say, but Moses gave a certificate of divorce. And he explains in this passage that the primary reason for divorce was sexual immorality. And if you were here for that message, you'll also know that we looked at what Paul said also about the area of abandonment. And this is where we pick up in Matthew 19, starting at verse 10. The disciples said to him, if such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry. But he, Jesus, said to them, not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this receive it. Heavenly Father, it is an honor and a privilege to be able to speak openly and freely from your word of truth this morning. We're so grateful that we have the freedom to be able to learn. And we just commit this message to you, this area of singleness. And we ask that you minister to our hearts as we journey through what your word says about this subject. So be with us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as we've just seen in our passage this morning, Jesus refers to a group of people called eunuchs who were typically males who were unable to produce offspring for various reasons. Now, Jesus, in his response to the disciples' somewhat blunt comment, or you could even argue sarcastic comments, depending on how you want to read it, provides three types of eunuchs. He mentions eunuchs from birth. Those were people who, unfortunately, were born unable to have children because of on medical grounds or because of a birth defect of some sort. He then mentions eunuchs who were made eunuchs. And in the ancient world, it was common practice for rulers or kings to castrate their servants and advisors. And the reason they did this was to reduce impotency and subdue and pacify them so that their sexual desires don't become a problem under their service. But in the context of our area of focus today, it's the last group of people that Jesus refers to which is important. Eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of God. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that a male castrated themselves in order to serve the Lord. Now, that may have happened. Who knows? But I would suggest that Jesus here is figuratively referring to men and women who choose to abstain from a married life and live celibate lives. And they do that in order to dedicate their whole life, their whole personhood, to the work of the Lord. This can be someone who has never married. could be someone who is sadly divorced. It could even be a widow or a widower who may well have every biblical right to remarry, but has chosen instead to dedicate the remainder of their life to God's service. So why are Jesus' words here so important? Well, they're important because they set the foundation for what Paul would later teach on the gift of singleness in 1 Corinthians. So let's look at this. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul is speaking into the principle of marriage, and we looked at this when we looked at marriage. But in the midst of this subject, he says in verse 6 and 7, "Now, as a concession, not a command, I say this. I wish that all were as I myself am. But each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another." Well, what's going on here? Well, Paul is not only here referring to himself as being an example of someone who falls into Jesus's third bracket, as we've just seen. In essence, someone who is able to stay celibate and refrain from the sexual desires that may birth inside, remain single and focused on serving the Lord. But more importantly, he alludes to the reality that just as marriage is a gift from God for those who are married or will get married, so too is a life of singleness a gift for those who remain single and dedicate their life to the Lord's service. Now, this gift, which Paul is speaking about here in verse 7, isn't giving us some sort of superpower to be able to help you through the, having a life as a married person, okay, or as a single. We may need superpowers sometimes if we're married, all right, to be able to get through. No, of course, no one in this room. But this gift that he refers to is the richness and the blessing and the fruit that we can all receive from God in either situation. Whether he has called you to be to a married life, whether he's called you to a single life. Both can receive the gift and richness and blessing and fruit from God. Yes, daily life will look different in both situations, but the richness and blessing of God can be received in both of these situations, both of these circumstances, as long as Christ is the center. As long as Christ is the center. Friends, what this tells us is that singleness doesn't mean, as it has often maybe felt for some people, that they are a second-rate Christian. Far from it. Though marriage was the ideal, here we see a single life dedicated to the Lord's service being perfectly acceptable and a blessed life in God's eyes. In fact, Paul even goes on to encourage all single believers to consider if a life of singleness is what you are being called to. He says in verse 8, to the unmarried and the widows. To the unmarried, that's anybody who is unmarried. Whether you're in your late teens or later on in life, anyone who is unmarried, and to the widows I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. But he also adds the little caveat here, doesn't he? But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Because we know what happens with someone who is unmarried, who burns with passion. The temptations become very real, don't they? Now, why would he say that? Because there are certain benefits to a single life that married people do not have the luxury of. Namely, unhindered, total dedication and time to serve the Lord. Doesn't mean that's all you have, you know, to do in life. A single person has the freedom to meet people, to minister to people, to you know, sometimes at the drop of a hat, to jump in a car to visit someone as the Lord directs them to. But a married Christian doesn't always have that luxury, because being married, you have responsibilities to your wife, to your husband, and to your children. This is why Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 7:32. He says, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please him. So in essence, the unmarried man has this, how can I please the Lord? What can I do to serve the Lord? But the married man, here's the polar opposite, the married man is anxious about the worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. It doesn't mean the married man doesn't want to serve the Lord and do what they can to serve the Lord. But the married man has the responsibility to say, Lord, I'm here. Do with me what you will. Send me where you will. It doesn't matter. I'm a free agent. Let's go. A married man can't do that. Lord, how can I serve you? But I also need to serve my wife or husband, which you've given me, and the children that you've blessed me with. So I've got to find the balance. But then Paul goes on. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about the worldly things, how to please her husband. It's just the polar opposite of what Paul says about the man. You see the difference? But please do not misunderstand what Paul is saying here. As we have seen, Paul speaks highly, so highly, of marriage, more than anyone in the New Testament. He's not belittling marriage. He's trying to show the perspective of both married and unmarried. And he shows here the wonderful truth and gift a single life in the Lord's service can be, and challenges his listeners to prayerfully consider if this is for them. This brings us to the second area today. Singleness can be hard. When we looked at marriage and divorce during this series, we've highlighted on a number of occasions the truth that when God saw Adam on his own in the Garden of Eden, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Here God places man and woman in the union of support, a union of care toward each other, an intimacy with each other throughout their life. But what about those who are single? What about those who are single? Well, if you remember the marriage message, we highlighted this and we said, in the absence of a partner in marriage, it is the church family's responsibility. The church family's responsibility to become the practical and caring companion that they need to walk through the ups and the downs of life. The reality is the life as a single Christian can be hard. If we were to go around the room, which I won't do, don't panic, but if we were to go around the room now, I'm sure many people could share with us their experiences of being single. Some may be very happy, very content, and that's wonderful, serving the Lord with all their heart. But I wonder as well whether there might be those who would give these sorts of responses. You know, I'm longing to find a partner, longing for marriage and a family, but all around me, my friends are marrying. I'm seeing people starting families, the very thing that I'm praying for that hasn't happened for me, and it's hard. It's hard to watch that. Maybe you'd hear someone say, well, look, society, you know, it just seems geared for couples and families and celebrates and encourages singles to have as much unbiblical fun as you can get, but without the commitment. And that temptation for me, this person might say, is very real. It's very real. Maybe you'll hear someone say, I love my church family and they mean well, but it's more geared toward this nuclear family, and sometimes I just feel like I'm on the periphery. Maybe sometimes I even feel lonely. And what about there just aren't enough single Christian men or women in my church? These are hard. These are very real. These are real battles, and I'm sure there are many, many others. Now, next month, we will be looking or focusing in on the topic of dating and sex, which are very real challenges in our society and in the church. And we'll look a lot more practically about these battles and these challenges and what God says about them. But for now, it's important for us to recognize the struggles that Christian singles can go through. And I keep saying can because there are single Christians who are very happy and content. Very happy and content. But until we do, we'll not be able, until we understand the anguish, the pains, the struggles that some single people go through, we can't move forward in providing a healthy environment as a church where those who are single can find support. They can find care and love and feel wholesome in themselves and a valued part of the church community. Now, I've been putting this off and putting this off because I wanted to get to this point this month. But throughout this journey so far of looking at marriage and the whole area of divorce and today singleness, at Welcome Church, you know, we are keen to want to know, are we doing things right in the support in all of these areas? Are there areas that you feel you might be in one of these brackets? You may feel like, well, the church is not really supporting in these areas. Part of our responsibility is for you, to support you, to care for you. But we can't do that effectively if we don't understand your heart. So I will be sending out one of my questionnaires that I like to do. It will be anonymous because we need people to be honest with us. And we'll be asking you the question, how... At Welcome Church, how are we doing? if we're not doing very well, if you're single, or maybe you are divorced, or you're a teenager and you're longing for this and you're struggling with the battles of the temptations, how are we doing? What would you suggest we can continue to do to provide a support as a church for you? Because that's important for us to know. But for now, I want to just take a moment to focus in on what I would suggest is one of the primary, if not the primary area that every single one of us in this room, whether you're a youth, member of the youth, or at the latter part of life, everybody in between, every single one of us, and that is the building and the nurturing of deep-rooted and dedicated fellowship with each other. I could go off on that side of it for the rest of the message today. One of the most profound Bible verses I think you could find in the Gospels is found in John 15:15. And it's Jesus' words here. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. I mean, just think about, yes, we know Jesus was fully human, but he was fully God. He was fully divine. Just think about that. He had every right, like kings and rulers before him, to say, no, you're my servants. You'll do what I tell you to do. Go where I tell you to go. That's profound. You're my friends. Jesus exemplified and led the way in what deep-rooted relationships look like. And his reason for doing so was because we are all created to be relational creatures who thrive in fellowship and who thrive in relationship together. Is that not true? Just think about it. If you're married here, maybe you have children, then at the end of the day, you have family to go home to, people to talk with and natter and laugh and joke in the evening with, people to eat with, people to go on holiday with and enjoy all of those wonderful things. But those who are single don't always have that luxury. Doesn't mean they don't, but some don't always have that luxury. And that can be hard, particularly come holiday season. At the Living Out course that myself and a few of the leaders went to back in February, I think it was, one of our speakers, or our primary speaker, told us that one of the most important things that he cherishes, and he's a single Christian, one of the most important things that he cherishes is the two or three deep friendships that he has. And you could see, as he says it, what they meant to him. One of those friendships he mentions is with a couple who have children. So they're their own family in their own right, and they've got the business of life and everything going on. But he mentioned how they have made him feel so welcome that he feels like part of their family. Not just a visitor, but they've made him part of their family because they recognize he needs deep fellowship. Now, as I said, there are many, many happy people who are single, and praise God. But whether you're happy being single or not, we all need deep-rooted relationships. We all do. To, as Paul says, encourage and build each other up. Paul says that in 1 Thessalonians. And a big part of that is to fend off what I wonder is a reality that we don't often hear people tell us, and that's loneliness. Loneliness. Loneliness should never be part in God's church, in Jesus' church. It should never be there. I was listening to an event, a Gospel Coalition event, and one of the speakers there, it was perfect timing, turned around and said in that speech, there should never, ever be such a thing as a lonely Christian. And it pricked my ears because he doubled himself, never, ever, to try and emphasize the point. There should never be a lonely Christian. But I wonder, are there? Being single can be hard, whether you have chosen to be single or not. But friends, you are part of a church family. You are part of a church family, and we love you, and we care about you, and we care for you. We may not have got it all right all the time, and there are definitely things we need to learn, but that's why we need you to help us on that journey of learning. How can we better do this? But on an individual Christian perspective, we've all got to start opening our eyes to ask, how can we support those and walk through life with them? Not as a token gesture, but as genuine, genuine, deep desire to want to build deep fellowship. You've got to learn to become more intentional in recognizing those who are single in our fellowship and do what we can. Amen? Amen. The third point today, for our area, I just want to focus in on, is one day singleness will cease to be. We can often assume that marriage is the pinnacle of the Christian life, the goal to reach, to be full and whole. I think we can all fall into that trap sometimes. But I'm going to say this with every love and grace and respect in my heart. But every marriage, or let me rephrase it, many who are married in this room now will experience singleness again. Maybe through divorce, but more likely through one of us going to glory before the other. Have we ever considered that? Many married in this room will be single again. So marriage, though it is so important, however wonderful it is, it cannot, nor should it be the pinnacle of the Christian life. Jesus is our goal. Jesus is our life. And he needs to be our all in all. Everything else is a blessing, whatever it may look like. But he is our pinnacle. Amen? Friends, when that day that he went to the cross to atone for the sin and quench the Father's wrath, and then was raised to life 3 days later. As we've not long celebrated after Easter, he provided the hope of eternal life and restoration with the Father for those who believe by faith in him, which is amazing, which is wonderful. But under the new covenant, which we are now all under, any person who repents and surrenders their life to the Lord and receives the gift of the Holy Spirit also is welcomed into the body of Christ and becomes a member of the bride of Christ. What does that mean? That means that a Christian, particularly in our case today, who is single in this life, is never truly single. Not in the context of the world's definition. Never truly single. Because all Christians are gloriously betrothed to the King of Kings. Every one of us are gloriously betrothed to the King of Kings and are unitedly waiting the eternal wedding day when Jesus, the bridegroom, returns to claim every single one of his bride. Oh, on that day, all hint of singleness will be gone, and also earthly marriage will disappear. Does not Jesus confirm that in Matthew 22:30 when he says, "For in the resurrection, then neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven." Not become, but be like the angels in heaven. So friends, we must learn with the Lord's help to change our mindset toward singleness, both as a church and as single persons, whether single for life or waiting for that day of marriage. And we must look to Jesus, the perfecter of our faith and the true pinnacle of our devotion, wholeness, and life, remembering that Jesus himself was single, who never married, who never had sex, but was surrounded by fellowship, and he led a complete and whole life. Jesus isn't, and Paul is not, the only example of singleness in the Bible. Have a look yourselves. Naomi and Ruth, Mary Magdalene. There are many examples of people who seem to live a single life for whatever reason, but who were dedicated to the Lord, dedicated to God. They need to be our examples, our strength, our encouragement. Friends, singleness can be hard. Jesus knows because he experienced hardship. But Jesus has lived a life of fellowship and of wholeness. He lived a life of fellowship and of wholeness. And he is the example of what those who may be single here today can experience now. You can experience wholeness and fellowship. But always remember that Jesus is also the example of how we all will be on that day when we go to glory. There's no difference. The only difference is the timing. It's only a difference. Can I invite the band up, please? As I mentioned, next month we will delve a bit deeper into this and look at sort of very practically on this area and see what God has to say about this whole area of dating, if that's, you know, you're called to date, looking for marriage, this whole area of the temptations around sex, but also the dangers of that in the current world and the condition that we see the world in. But today was really to give us an overview of what God's word says about this area. Now, I don't want to stand here and pretend I know what it feels like for you if you are single here today, particularly if you're looking for a spouse. I do know that it's been hard, and it is hard for some of you. I do know that. Longing and hoping for the Lord to answer your prayer. But let me ask you this. Let me ask you, have you ever taken the time to ask the Lord if a life of singleness dedicated to Him is your path? Have you ever asked that? Or maybe you've been swept up to the, but this is just the way the world works. This is the status quo. This is the path I need to follow. As we've clearly seen, there is true blessing in a single life dedicated to the Lord. So have you ever sat down and said, Lord, I want to put aside just for a moment what I want and just ask you, what do you want? Do you want me to stay single because you have a plan for me that's going to take up my whole time? It could be in this country, it could be around the world, it could be in the town you grew up in, it could be in the very church that you're part of. Remember the caveat, though. The caveat that Paul says, burning with sexual desire. If you're single here today and you don't burn with desire, and those temptations you can control, then specifically yourselves, I throw that challenge out. Go before the Lord in prayer. Ask. If the answer is no, or if you know, you just know deep down that marriage is your path, then I want to encourage you this morning to not lose heart. Hold on to hope. As we saw last week, where Lucy came in and powerfully shared with us, God hears. He hears our prayers. He knows the pains of our heart. Keep praying. Keep seeking. But while you do, while you're on that journey, live as a single Christian dedicated to the Lord. Allow that to be your focus, totally and wholeheartedly. If you're already living an unmarried and active single life, or feel that you are led to do so, then know you are blessed. Know you are blessed. And know that you can receive all the blessings from God just like a married couple can. We've seen that today. Continue to walk as you are in the richness of God. But know that whatever circumstance has led you to singleness, you are not alone. You are not alone. And we stand with you and by your side. You are surrounded by a church family who wants to support you, who wants to encourage you and to walk through the ups and downs of this life until that day when we all stand shoulder to shoulder as Christ's bride in our full and complete eternal state. Amen. Amen. Church, can I just invite you to stand as we pray, and then we'll sing our final song. Heavenly Father, Lord, this has been a fascinating journey throughout this Realigned series, where it's forced us, Lord, to delve into understanding your heart, not just the original plan and what you've said about all of that in today's life, in the fallen state that we're in, but your love and your compassion and your grace for all, within all of these areas. Lord, we know that there are those who are single here today. And Lord, those who you have called to be single and have chosen that life and are serving you with their heart, with all their heart and all their being, Lord, we celebrate. And we thank you for them. We thank you for their faithfulness. Help us, Lord, I pray, help us to be better as a church and walking with them, encouraging them, celebrating them on their journey, whether they're abroad or not. Because, Lord, they are your hands and your feet that you've called them to, and that is just wonderful. Lord, I pray for those in our fellowship who have never asked you the question of whether you may be calling them to a single life. And I just pray, Lord, that you minister to them now, that you open their heart, soften their heart, encourage them to spend some time in prayer with you asking that very question and not being afraid of whatever the answer may come. But I also pray for those who are single in our fellowship and are finding it hard, finding it very difficult. Lord, will you meet them where they are? Will your compassion and your love so consume them that we help them to know, Lord, that you hear their prayers, that you are working for them. The time might not be right, but if that's the case, Lord, then encourage them to be all they can be for you in this interim waiting period. Help us to better support all those who are single in this church. Help us as a church to practically learn what we can do to adapt and encourage and to walk by. Because, Lord, we don't want anyone to feel like they're on the peripheral. We don't want anyone to feel like they are lonely or to be lonely in this church. So encourage us, inspire us, challenge us, Lord, we pray. Bless those who are single. Bless those who are married, as your word says. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.